This Voice of the Arts podcast is made possible thanks to the Carnegie Museum of Art.
You are listening to WQED's Voice of the Arts podcast. I'm Emily Bruner, and today we have Butler County Symphony musical director and conductor Matthew Kramer. Hi, Matthew.
Great to be with you again, Emily.
And cellist Nicholas Kanellakis. They're here to talk about their upcoming concert. Welcome, everybody.
Thanks.
So your upcoming concert is this Saturday, and it's titled Symphonic Dances. So one can hopefully assume that Rachmaninoff's Symphonic Dances is in this program.
That's absolutely right. I don't think there are too many other works that are immediately identifiable. There are other symphonic dances, but this is certainly the most popular and oft played for orchestra.
That is awesome. And what else is going to be played in this program?
Well, we're delighted to have this incredible cellist with us right now, the Shostakovich First Cello Concerto, which is one of the great works for cello. Of course, Dvorak, Sisson, and Prokofiev. There's a wealth of repertoire, but the Shostakovich First is one of my favorites. And then there's also a work by Weber, orchestrated by Berlioz, called Invitation to the Dance, which kind of keeps us in that dance theme.
And why the dance theme, if I might ask?
Because of symphonic dances, to be honest with you. I don't think the Shostakovich is much of a toe tapper, but symphonic dances is again, it's musicians have said to me all season long how much they can't wait to play this piece. Many have played the piece several times, but it's really one of those works that we all love to come back to.
The Shostakovich would definitely be like a tribal dance if one were to dance to it.
It is a very intense piece, and it's a very long and, like, argued one of the most difficult cello concertos.
Yes.
So, Nick, how are you approaching playing this work? Have you played it before?
I have played it before a couple times. I also learned it not as a kid, but I learned it, I remember, when I was about 18. So I guess that was a
kid.
And you know, it's a type of piece that it's very important to learn when you're young, so that it's like in your fingers, because it is, as you both said, you know, it's mind-blowingly difficult cello writing. It's also difficult in many ways for the orchestra. It's hard. It's not simple to put together. But it really is an incredible piece of music. It's not just about cello virtuosity. It has incredible depth. It has all the hallmarks of Shostakovich. On one hand, it has incredible pathos and anguish that we associate with his music, but it also actually is just extremely exciting and vivacious writing. So it's always, I think, a big hit with audiences, and it's, I think, one of his most popular pieces, and for good reason.
Yeah, it's very popular, and it's very different from a lot of other pieces that cellos would play, because it's just so, it's so, like, I want to say it's angry almost.
Yeah, I mean, it's like classical music meets rock music in a certain way. I mean, it's really, like I said, there's this kind of like primitive element to it at times, where you're kind of like bashing away with these rhythmic motifs. And there's great beauty in it as well. I mean, the slow movement, and particularly, I would say, the third movement, which is very unusual because the entire third movement is for solo cello.
Wow.
So it sort of takes the place of the traditional role of a cadenza in more classical structure. So instead of just being a short kind of improvisatory solo moment for the instrument at the end of the first movement, he takes that and extends it to being an entire movement just for solo cello. So it's very unusual in that way.
It is very unusual. And it's unusual in that also you have to coordinate highly with the symphony. There's a lot of parts where, like, there's a timpani that happens when the cello happens, and there's musical moments that happen together. I mean, how does that rehearsal process work? I mean, it's very intense, isn't it?
Well, it begins, if I will, with having a phenomenal soloist like Nick. Nick and I actually have a history with this piece. We've not done it together, but we were supposed to with the Virginia Symphony Orchestra back in 2020. And of course, that was moved. And then when we did come back to it, we had to have a much smaller program for the orchestra, a smaller orchestration. So we moved to the Schumann Cello Concerto, which is also very beautiful. So it's been in the back of my mind for 3 years now to get this piece programmed again with Nick to bring him in. But yes, to your point, it is complicated. Multimeter passages where every bar is in a different meter, switching from 2 to 3. And then there are some more complex meters in there as well. And it's not a very, for as loud and driving as the piece is, it's not, there aren't large forces on the stage. It's not a, you know, massive orchestra like you'll find with the Rachmaninoff or even the Berlioz, which will open the program as a larger orchestra. But the intricacy of the writing, I'm a big fan of all three of the first concertos, the first violin, first cello, first piano. They are very objective in many respects, very emotive, very powerful. But those second concertos are much darker works, much more subjective, written towards the latter part of his life. So I think all three of these first concertos of Shostakovich's are masterpieces.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Nicholas, in addition to being like an amazing top-tier cellist, you're also doing other things, just like Matthew. He's got like four different pots he's holding in the air. You are also the artistic director of Chamber Music Sedona in Arizona, and you also, you know, live in New York and are part of the Chamber Music Society in Lincoln Center. I mean, how do you juggle all these? Oh my god.
Well, I mean, it sometimes is tough. I just came back from Sedona, where I was hosting and playing a week of concerts there. You know, but I love doing all this stuff, and they're not all disassociated. You know, I mean, you know, what I do at the Chamber Society of Lincoln Center, for the most part, is chamber music. And frankly, I don't think there's as big a distinction between concertos and chamber music as people might think. I think for me, always the greatest concerto collaborations are the ones where I feel like I'm an equal with the orchestra and with the conductor, and that we're all listening in the same and communicating in a similar way that you would in chamber music. These pieces are, you know, take the Shostakovich concerto, for example. You could argue it's a double concerto because the French horn part is so enormous. And it, you know, when he's playing the line, I'm sometimes accompanying or she is playing the line, I'm sometimes accompanying the French horn, you know, and so it's that constant give and take between leading and following and submerging and appearing as the primary line that happens in chamber music that you can apply to concertos. So, but in terms of how I schedule my time, yeah, it's tough. It can be a lot.
And what led you to decide to do all of these things?
Oh, I think sometimes it's like, opportunity presents itself and then you kind of run with it from there, you know. But I do like, you know, what something that I'm sure Matt would probably agree with as a conductor is it's really fun to come up with programs and, you know, be and put pieces together and put different artists together. And that's something that I really love doing in Sedona as an artistic director, is really just being creative with how I program. So I love doing that. And I, of course, love playing the solo cello repertoire. It's just it's amazing stuff. It's not the biggest repertoire in the world, but the pieces that we do have are really fantastic, you know, like this Shostakovich.
Yeah, for sure. And what led you to decide the cello? That's what I want to do.
Well, you know, I come from a musical family, and my parents were pianists, and my older sister is a violinist and now conductor. And so I needed to do something similar, but a little different. I had to, you know, differentiate myself in some way. But I was exposed to all the instruments through my dad, who was actually conducted a couple of orchestras when I was younger, and I fell in love with the cello.
Well, there you go. I think the cello is a wonderful instrument. It has such a dynamic range, and it's just musically beautiful. It's one of the ones I could listen to over and over again if I had to. Amazing. And Matthew, what other concerts is Butler doing in the near future? I know you have two.
That's right. So this is the start of our latter half of the season here. And we return in a month for Carl Nielsen's Fourth Symphony at the Inextinguishable. And that's paired with Maurice Ravel's La Valse, which is another incredible dance-like work for orchestra, brilliantly orchestrated. But that program does feature our side-by-side participants from the local schools, as well as our concerto competition winner will be featured on that program. And then we close our season in April with the Golden Age of Hollywood film, performing film scores by Franz Waxman, Erich Korngold, Max Steiner, you know, some of the greats that really created the sound, which has been passed on to, through John Williams, Danny Elfman, Michael Giacchino, et cetera, et cetera. So that'll be our season finale in April.
Oh, quite an amazing season finale for sure. Those are all awesome. And Nick, for you, what are you going to do after?
Let's see. I have a lot. So I've got this month, I've got a performance with the Chamber Society the next week and of Lincoln Center. Then I've got a Dvorak cello concerto, which is our other, you know, masterpiece in the repertoire. And then, you know, a lot of other concerts all over the place and in for the rest of the spring, from Florida to Texas to Arizona to all over the East Coast. So wow. Yeah, busy spring. Yeah,
it's gonna be busy. Lots of traveling. Of traveling. Well, that's amazing. Matthew, Nick, is there anything else you would like to talk about?
This is an opportunity for our audience in Butler to hear an incredible artist in Nick. And Nick, I'm looking forward to working with you once again. It's already been 2 years, I think, since we were on stage together. So this is an incredible program for the orchestra. As I mentioned, this Rachmaninoff Symphonic Dances. It's one of the great virtual show works in the repertoire. In fact, our bass clarinetist had some health issues and had to step down. And he was thoroughly disappointed because he said this is the greatest bass clarinet part in all of the repertoire. And you could say the same thing about a lot of the other instruments in the orchestra. The audience, it loves Rachmaninoff, but is unfamiliar with this work. I think it's his greatest orchestral piece.
It is going to be quite exciting for everybody to hear the Shostakovich and, of course, Nick's amazing cello, as well as the symphonic dances. Well, thank you, Matthew and Nicholas, so much for coming in today.
Pleasure.
This Voice of the Arts podcast is made possible thanks to the Carnegie Museum of Art.